Amazon is one of the world's largest online retailers, selling everything from books to blenders to bongos. Part of the company's success, it generated $61 billion in revenues last year, can be attributed to a long-term strategy of getting around paying state sales taxes. That's beginning to change, but as Fortune magazine editor-at-large Peter Elkind notes, the company has found ways to turn defeat to its advantage. Mr. Elkind has written with Doris Burke, Amazon's not-so-secret war on taxes for the June issue of Fortune, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show now. Hello.
Yes, very good to be with you.
In recent weeks, a number of tech companies, including Apple and Google, have come under fire for having alleged tax avoidance strategies. How central has not having to pay state sales taxes been to Amazon's growth strategy over the years?
Well, I think it's been important. It was especially important as the company was getting started in those early first 5-10 years, because it effectively gave Amazon a 10% pricing edge over its competitors. And in the retail business, that's a lot.
How much money do state and local governments lose each year in unpaid taxes by online retailers like Amazon? Has anybody estimated it?
Yes. Now, there's been some pretty good studies. The best of them calculated, this is by a group of University of Tennessee professors in 2009, that study, which is debated, but it's the best one out there, I think, estimated that the loss to state and local governments was $11.4 billion a year for 2012.
You quote Charlie McClure, a former Deputy Assistant U.S. Treasury Secretary, as accusing Amazon of aiding and abetting tax evasion. Is there consensus among legal experts that that is the case?
Well, there is a consensus that Amazon is extremely aggressive in its approach, and I quoted three different very well-regarded experts on this front. The reason they accuse them of aiding and abetting tax evasion is because actually consumers, even when they're not charged sales taxes, are supposed to remit it to the states themselves. They're supposed to pay it on their own. But, of course, virtually nobody does that. And so, effectively, if the retailer doesn't collect, if Amazon doesn't collect, then the governments don't get the money.
Well, I can't even imagine being able to self-report some sales tax. I wouldn't know where to begin.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to calculate, and it doesn't make sense for people to do it individually when retailers, and Amazon in particular, obviously now have the capability to do that very readily themselves.
Well, Amazon has avoided collecting sales taxes that their customers should be paying to state governments. Has it also pursued strategies to lessen its own federal tax bill?
It has. It without question it has. It's been aggressive just as Apple has, but that's a whole different story.
Well, haven't Amazon and other online retailers been able to exploit a loophole that was created by a 1992 Supreme Court ruling involving an office equipment mail order business?
That's exactly right.
What was that case about?
It was called the Quill decision, and this was a landmark Supreme Court ruling that dated back to mail order houses before the internet really existed. And the Supreme Court ruled that for an out-of-state retailer, for an out-of-state business, again, in this case, mail order houses, to collect sales tax would be too burdensome because there were so many different jurisdictions and it was so complex and that it violated the Constitution. Now, that was back in 1992. Flash forward to the present, obviously, Amazon knows what shirt size you wear, what books you read, and everything else. And as the company itself acknowledges, and has for a long time, it can readily collect the sales tax now and calculate it. It's not burdensome at all anymore. So even though that's the case, and Amazon acknowledges that it hasn't been the case for years, the company has stuck by the Supreme Court decision and said until Congress passes a law overruling this, changing this law, we are going to refuse to collect in states across the country, and that's generally been its policy. It sort of yielded this advantage very reluctantly in individual states as a result of kind of being backed into a corner a little bit.
Well, Amazon has argued that it doesn't have a physical presence in some states, but it has warehouses and distribution centers in those states. So how does that reasoning work?
Right. Well, the key part of the Quill decision, this Supreme Court decision, which is the central issue, is whether you have nexus in a state. And nexus is a legal term, which is the term for having a physical presence in the state. The Quill decision said you don't have to collect in a state if you don't have a physical presence, substantial physical presence.
Isn't a warehouse a physical presence?
A warehouse can be a physical presence. Sales agents can be a physical presence. Stores can be a physical presence. Now, Amazon didn't have stores, but it certainly had warehouses in a number of states. In fact, at one point, as of 2008, for example, it had a physical presence in the form largely of warehouses in 17 states that have sales taxes, but it collected in only four of them. So it had a warehouse in Pennsylvania, in Nevada, in Arizona, in Texas, but it didn't collect any sales tax. And the reason for doing this, the basis for doing this, is what's known as the entity isolation strategy, which is they put the warehouses in a separate subsidiary, a legal subsidiary, and asserted that it was an independent operation. And this is what the tax experts say was extremely aggressive. Even if it's technically in a subsidiary, even if it has a separate board and managers, and of course these are all these subsidiaries, Amazon subsidiaries, are run by Amazon.com, the corporate umbrella. Even if it has if it's got a close operating relationship with them, which the warehouse business clearly does, these experts say that Amazon really should be collecting.
Well, subsidiaries have been the excuse for a lot of people. Apple created these subsidiaries in Ireland, even though it really has no presence in Ireland.
Yes, and you know, that's the basis for a lot of corporate tax avoidance, which allows you to follow in an aggressive way, at least, the letter of the law, or appear to be following the letter of the law, and certainly at odds with the spirit and what clearly is reality. Amazon has a subsidiary that is distributing products, sending out products for all of its business, for its retail business, and yet it was maintaining and is still maintaining in a lot of places that it's a separate operation.
Well, you write that Amazon's founder, Jeff Bezos, sought to exploit the sales tax loophole from the very first days of the company. He even went so far as to explore setting up Amazon on an Indian reservation to avoid taxes.
Yes, he did indeed. And he was very open about this. You know, one of the things I noted is that this is, unique among Amazon is that tax avoidance is kind of part of the fabled founding story, the creation fable of the company. And Bezos acknowledged in an interview a year after Amazon launched that it was a big decision for him to decide where to put the company, and he recognized that to maximize the tax advantage, he had to locate Amazon in a small state, because if their headquarters was in a big state, then they'd have to collect sales tax for all their sales to customers in, say, New York or California. So he looked at the idea of, as he put it, of setting up Amazon on an Indian reservation near San Francisco, and that he thought possibly could be a tax-exempt jurisdiction because Indian reservations have special status.
But he didn't do it.
And unfortunately discovered it wasn't legally possible.
But by not collecting sales tax, Amazon has an advantage over brick-and-mortar stores, doesn't it?
It does indeed. It does indeed. And sales, local, state and local sales taxes can amount to as much as 10%. And, especially the mom-and-pop retailers historically were having a very difficult time competing with Amazon, because Amazon has extremely good customer service. It has a massive selection. It's a good business. They do a very good job. And to have to then compete also on price, and you're sort of got a 10% disadvantage right out of the box, is very difficult, and it helped drive a lot of small retailers out of business.
My guest is Peter Elkind, who is an editor at large at Fortune magazine, and with Doris Burke has written an article called Amazon's War on Taxes. It's in the June issue of the magazine. Well, you mentioned the mom and pops, but large retailers have established a group called Alliance for Main Street Fairness, and they are trying to cut into Amazon's competitive edge. I'm assuming no one saw any irony in a company like Walmart claiming that it was sticking up for mom and pop shopkeepers by going after Amazon?
Yes. No, there's enormous irony here, and there's a raft of strange bedfellows in this tale, and a very interesting part of the story as we dug into it. Initially it was the small mom-and-pops that kind of were feeling Amazon's bite and were getting killed by Amazon. But as time went on, the big boys, Walmart, Best Buy, Walgreens, Barnes & Noble, they were losing ground to Amazon, and the trends were very disturbing to them as well.
Well, when they sell online, do they collect sales taxes?
For a time, they didn't. And they were the pioneers, or one of the pioneers, of this entity isolation approach. So Walmart, for a few years, and Target, actually set up separate subsidiaries themselves where their online businesses didn't collect sales tax, even though they had a store in every state, practically in every neighborhood. Now, they abandoned this approach by about 2003 because they wanted to cross-sell. They wanted to, you know, have you be able to buy online and return a product to their physical stores. They wanted to cross-promote between their internet business and their retail stores. And also, it just really wasn't tenable legally. And in fact, you know, again, one of the ironies in all of this, when Barnes & Noble was employing this approach, Amazon sued them and claimed that they were engaging in an unfair method of competition by not charging sales tax with their online business.
That is ironic as well. So has the Alliance for Main Street Fairness been successful in going after Amazon?
It's really been very successful. It turned the tide in this whole fight. For a long time after this, after Amazon launched, after the Quill decision, state tax collectors, who obviously were you think would be really going after this income, were quite timid about doing so. And the approach they employed was forming a group called the Streamlined Sales Tax Project, where they were going to try to address the Supreme Court's complaint that it was too complex by simplifying the sales tax regimes of 45 different states, which is basically an impossible task. And needless to say, this got bogged down for years in all kinds of discussions about, you know, is a candy bar taxable, and how much chocolate do you need to have on it?
There was a five-page white paper defining that.
Yes, yes, and this project took years and years of meetings. The tax officials from states were convening periodically in hotels around the country, and basically went nowhere. They got a number of states to sign on, but the vast majority, the majority of the population, states representing the majority of the country, refused because they didn't want to cede control of their tax regimes to this entity.
Well, you write about Robert Plattner, who in 2007 became New York State's Deputy Commissioner for Tax Policy. He had what he called the Plan B for dealing with Amazon's tax approach.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the streamlined approach was going nowhere, and yet the big retailers were kind of sticking with it for a very long period of time, as were the tax collectors. But Plattner in New York had a different approach. He realized it wasn't going anyplace, and so he decided when he went into state government after being a private tax lawyer, he went to New York state government. In 2007 and 2008, he proposed going after Amazon with new state law. And specifically, Amazon has affiliates in states, thousands of affiliates in every state, who put an Amazon logo and link on their own websites. These are small businesses, maybe nonprofit groups, and you've seen them. If you click on a link to Amazon and then buy something on Amazon, these entities then get a small commission. And so Plattner came up with the idea and helped get a law passed through the state legislature in New York to define these affiliates as sales agents, as constituting a physical presence in New York. So New York passed that law in 2008 and began collecting. And Amazon began collecting sales tax from its customers in New York, even while it went to court to challenge the law.
We'll get to Meisner in a little while. Some states, like Indiana, cut deals with Amazon to exempt the company from sales taxes. Why would they pursue that kind of strategy?
Well, they were so desperate for Amazon's jobs. It was Amazon always employed a carrot and stick approach in dealing with the individual states. You know, the states had in places like Indiana had a basis already for going after Amazon and forcing them to collect sales tax. But they were reluctant to do so. They had put all their faith in this streamlined approach that was going nowhere. And some states also were just so eager to get jobs from Amazon. And Amazon was very, very overt, very heavy-handed, in saying, listen, if you'll play ball with us, i.e. let us not collect sales tax, we will put a warehouse in your state and create jobs there. And so in addition to the usual economic development incentives, which Amazon got in many places, Indiana actually repealed a law, changed a law, to make sure that it, that Amazon would be exempt from having to collect the state's 7% sales tax.
What happened when Mark Sanford, when he was governor of South Carolina before he took that trip on the Appalachian Trail, tried to cut a similar deal in 2010?
Yes. In South Carolina, again, they were eager to do business with Amazon. And Mark Sanford, as he was leaving, sort of a as he was not quite before he left, but almost, cut a deal to exempt Amazon from collecting sales tax. And ultimately, it did, however, require passage of the measure by the state legislature. And Amazon, during the negotiations for all of this, proposed that it be given an exemption from collecting sales tax until 2016, which is about 4.5 years. The legislature balked at this. This new big business group, the Main Street Fairness Coalition, the Alliance for Main Street Fairness, lobbied very – this is their first fight in the individual states. They lobbied against it. The legislature refused to approve it. They voted it down. And then Amazon announced that the warehouse that it was already building, they announced they were going to pull out of the state, shut down the warehouse, and that the jobs that were coming to South Carolina weren't going to be coming to South Carolina. Well, it had the desired effect. 3 weeks later, the state legislature flip-flopped and approved the measure.
You describe Paul Meisner, Amazon's vice president for public policy, as Jeff Bezos' field general in the long campaign against Internet taxes. How does he frame Amazon's campaign against paying taxes? Doesn't he say that it's patriotic?
Yes. I mean, he says that the basis for this is the constitutional limitation, as he puts it. So the constitutional limitation on states' authority to collect sales taxes is at the core of our nation's founding principles. That we feel very good about our position. This is something he said in an interview with me. That we feel very good about our position because it's a constitutional right.
At one point, didn't Amazon impose travel restrictions on its employees to avoid what they call the sales tax nexus? They even included a color-coded map for the employees?
Yes. I mean, this shows how absorbed and obsessed Amazon was with keeping this advantage. They had rules, very extensive rules, detailed in memos, confidential memos to employees, that said who could that restricted who could travel where. Said there are red states, orange states, and red states, which are the ones, the red states, of course, with the most restrictions, and that if you get explicit approval to travel there, even if you do go to one of these states, your activities have to be very strictly limited.
They were barred from blogging while traveling.
Yes, they didn't want them doing any business while they were in the state. They didn't want them cutting any deals, even making speeches and doing high-profile activities when they were attending conferences.
Well, this month, the Senate passed the Marketplace Fairness Act with Amazon's support. Why was the company behind the bill?
Very interesting. You know, again, the decision by the retailers, the big retailers, to kind of go to the states and fight the fight there had a big effect, and this happened about 2010, 2011, and was led by Best Buy and others. That had a big decision in turning the tide and putting increased pressure on Amazon in many states because they had all the very powerful lobbyists for the retail businesses, for Walmart and the like, pushing to force Amazon to collect. And Amazon had always said it favored a federal solution to this problem, but by all accounts, it wasn't doing very much in Washington to get one passed, and it didn't really have much of a prospect for passage. But after the states started moving, and also after Amazon more and more wanted warehouses in all the different states because it was getting so big and really wanted to move towards same-day delivery of goods, the company was in a position where it was having to collect in more and more places, and it wanted its competitors to have to collect everywhere as well. So Amazon, finding itself in the position of having to pay sales tax in much of the country, and in a few years it'll be most of the country, wants to make sure that eBay and other retailers that it competes with, the online folks are going to have to pay tax themselves.
And eBay was opposed to that law.
What's that?
And eBay was opposed
to
the law.
eBay has been opposed to the law. So you have, again, enormous irony of Amazon, you know, saying this is a matter of fairness. We want to level the playing field.
Now, by 2016, Amazon will be collecting taxes in 17 states. Is it fair to say that the company has abandoned its tax avoidance strategies?
No, it's yielding it reluctantly. So, in every state where states passed laws to force Amazon to collect, Amazon would protest, would sometimes terminate all the affiliates in order to avoid the law applying to the company, and it would also vow that it was never going to agree to collect in those states. But ultimately, in many of these places, it negotiated deals where it would agree to build a warehouse or two or three and agree to collect sales tax, but only after a year or two or three.
And that's what happened in Texas. You opened your story, and we have very little time, with Texas State Controller Susan Combs sending Amazon a bill for $269 million in back taxes, along with a pre-addressed envelope for the company's convenience. I hope she put a stamp on it as well.
They probably got a stamp out of it.
And they pay Texas.
They now collect taxes, but they cut a deal with Texas just as they had everywhere else. And Texas wrote off the $269 million back tax bill.
Peter Elkind is an is the Texas model something that's going to be followed by other states?
It was followed by one state. Arizona did pretty much the same thing. It after sort of allowing Amazon to not collect for years, even though Amazon had a warehouse in the state, under pressure from the Main Street retailers, from this lobbying group, it suddenly decided to go after Amazon and handed them a big back tax bill, which would not have come out of the customers' pockets. It would have come out of Amazon's pockets. And that also succeeded in Arizona, where the company negotiated with the state and finally agreed to start collecting.
Well, how has Amazon's bottom line been affected in states where it started collecting sales taxes?
Well, they say that they're doing just fine, that in places where they collect, it hasn't affected their business. I think it certainly has affected them some. Competitors say that where Amazon's been forced to collect, they've seen an uptick in their business. Best Buy says that. Barnes & Noble says that. Having said that, Amazon is so well established now and so powerful and so successful and so good at what they do that people really use it kind of as a shopping utility.
And Peter, we have to end it there, unfortunately. Peter Elkind with Doris Burke wrote Amazon's Not-So-Secret War on Taxes. It's in the June issue of Fortune magazine. Thank you so much for being on our show.
It's been great to be with you.